Thank you for that. And this is normally when we would dismiss Junior and Children's Church, but we're giving everybody the day off, so we're not having Junior or Children's Church today. So we will enjoy this time together. We're, you know, this December 30th, we're in this transition period. Julie and I talked and thought, you know, we're gonna sing songs that we're still in Christmas, but we're gonna try to make a transition, and that's what I'm trying to do today with our sermon. 2019 is a couple days away, and I don't know about you. I don't know what you. Well, we don't know anything about 2019. How was your 2018? You know, we can ask ourselves, you know, what will 2019 be like? Well, we don't know that yet, but we know what 2018 was like. And I wonder how many of you are here today saying good riddance. Now, you know, and that's life. That's life. Some people have had a good year. Some people have not. And then how do you measure that? And so I don't get hung up. Hey, some years are better than others. Let's face it. So if you've had a great year, great. And if it hasn't been such a great year, well, that's what it's been. And now Kate and I believe it was 2017, said good riddance. I mean, it was just one of those years. And we were glad to see it go. We didn't shed a tear. Oh, I wish we could do this again. No, there wasn't a whole lot in 2017 that we wanted to do again. So, but you know what? I'm glad that I can stay here. I can stand here today and say I'm not looking at 2018 that way, not like 2017. So, you know, if this is the way it normally goes, 2019 will come, and it'll be gone, just like 2018 was. Now, I know when you're a little kid, you don't believe that. You know, especially if you're a little kid in third grade or something like that, you don't believe it. But it happens, doesn't it? I mean, I can't believe it. I just can't believe 2018's gone. So what will 2019 be like? I want to spend some time today. I don't want to spend any time today guessing. I want to spend some time today getting ready. One of the things 2019 will bring is change. Now, that'll be for everybody, even our friends visiting today. Well, no, 2019 will bring change, won't it? Yeah. 2019 will bring change. I asked somebody to look at the bulletin earlier this week, and I won't blow her cover. But as soon as she looked at it, she said, well, this isn't Jeff's bulletin. And I said, no, it's not. And I thought, I had no idea that, I'll bet, and it didn't even dawn on me, but Jeff, I know Jeff well enough to know that Jeff probably does things the same way quite a bit. And so today is not Jeff's bulletin. But you know what? There's going to come a day when Jeff's not going to be doing the bulletin at all. And so somebody else is. And it may be, well, we don't know who it is, do we? And we don't know how they'll do the bulletin. And there's churches today that don't even have a bulletin. They run it on the screen. If you see it, great. And if you don't, that's your problem. So that's change. But that, it struck me though, I thought, you know, immediately looking at this, You know, this person said, well, that's not Jeff's bulletin. Well, so it's change. And that's what 2019 will be like. What the change is, we can predict some of them. How it's going to be accomplished and who's supposed to change, that would actually be all of us. But some of us maybe a little more than others. In what way and to what degree? I mean, let's face it, that's what we're doing here is we're transitioning, and transition is change. are all these are all questions that each of us have to ask and answer ourselves, both individually and then as a group, corporately, together. We do. And, you know, I know there's a lot of things, some things we don't mind change, and other things we just plain don't want to change. 2019 is going to bring change. And I think this is a good verse. We're not going to turn there. I'm not preaching on it, but James had a good idea. If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. James wasn't against long-term planning or anything like that, but he was against people thinking that they had life all figured out and it was going to run. Of course, how many of us in here would say that like your life has worked out just exactly the way you thought it would? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Adam thinks, yeah, pretty much so, right, Adam? Yeah. Yeah, that's a lie. It just doesn't happen. And so I'm going to talk about change, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on the natural part, but natural change and spiritual change. So the natural level, this is change that we can affect by just deciding to do something different. And it's not a moral issue. It won't affect our spiritual condition one way or the other. And as soon as I wrote that, I thought I have to put this in. Practically nothing we do doesn't affect, you know. But for the most part, I'm talking about things like examples. I'm going to get different kind of shoes I wear this year, more feet friendly. You know, my wife made me buy these shoes. And, you know, because they're cool. Anyway, my wife made me buy these shoes. I love you, hon. Nice shoes. Oh, yeah, I love them. I love them. Yeah, they're great. I'm going to read more books and watch less TV. Now, I didn't say that about me. These are examples. Okay? But anyway, you know, it's just things that we can do. I backed up. I'm going to plant more flowers this year or more garden. I'm going to clean out the barn and the garage. Hey, I don't have a barn. I do have a garage. All right. Let's skip that one. I'm going to eat less bacon. Bummer, yeah. What's the commercial? You know, if you have an absolutely perfect recipe, add bacon. And then they go further. They go, if you have an absolutely perfect recipe that includes bacon, add more bacon. Yeah, that's the ad. That's not me. I'm not suggesting that. But, you know, now, so that's behavioral change. I don't know whether eating less bacon or not will make you more spiritual. So we're not that. I doubt it. You may live longer. So, but change on the spiritual level comes almost always through the path of repentance and discipline. Now that's less fun than eating bacon, but it's the truth. Repentance is a change of mind about the life I'm currently living, and discipline is the working out of that change day by day. That's just tough. I mean, changing our mind is tough enough, but that doesn't really get hardly anything done. It's important. We got to do it. It's the first step, but if we just leave it there, then we're really not any better off. A biblical example, 1 Thessalonians 1. In 1 Thessalonians 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to them, and he's commending them. I'm going to pick it up at verse 8. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, that you Thessalonians, in Macedonia, which is where Thessalonica was, and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, don't miss that. It's one movement, but it's two things. Like I'm gonna look at this Christmas tree, and now I've decided I'm gonna change my mind. I'm gonna look at you guys. So I'm gonna turn. I'm gonna look at you guys. I'm not looking at the Christmas tree anymore. I'm not a mom who has eyes in the back of my head, you know. But it's a decision and a movement, but a lot of times what we'll do, repent, you know, we'll say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore, okay, but if I'm not going to replace it with something else, I haven't really completed it. I probably am going to fail. What needed to happen was they first needed to see that their idol worship was wrong and then see that God was right. And then in that process of repentance, changing their mind, seeing that their idol worship was wrong, then they turned to the living God. So it's not two things, but it involves a movement that goes from one thing to another. So another example is in Ephesians 4. Ephesians is one of my favorite books. And Ephesians 4, I mean, it's probably wrong to even jump into the middle of it, but I'm going to. I'm going to read verse 1. Paul says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Now, what's that? We've been called to be children of God. And we're supposed to walk in a manner worthy of being called children of God. That wouldn't be, I mean, we could actually leave here today and say that's my New Year's resolution. I know we all hate New Year's resolutions. They're really not a bad thing. We just don't like them because it involves change and it involves discipline. And so New Year's resolutions really get kind of a bum rap. But here, Paul is just saying, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 17. Now, this is what I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now, when he says Gentiles, he realizes at this early stage in the church, we're Gentiles. But back then, that was another way of saying people who weren't us, people who weren't saved, people who weren't following Christ. Then he says, but this is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So, this is what he says to do. This is what Paul's telling the Ephesians to do. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former matter of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old self, put on the new self. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for the building up, the edification, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. This is probably the one that gets me the most. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Mm-hmm. If we're going to use, if we're going to have a standard for forgiveness, which is one of the hardest things to do, the standard is God forgave us. All right, now, what's he saying here? The passage is about acting differently because we are actually different. See? It's not trying to make New Year's resolutions when there's nothing changed in my life. I'm just making a resolution. No. We are new creatures with new spiritual DNAs that are able to live contrary to the way we used to live. And that 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the one, anyone who's in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. A new creature, born again, a new spiritual DNA. We can do this. We actually have the capacity, the ability to do it. Now, so what's he saying? He's saying instead of lying, speak the truth. Now, that's not a big deal when you're talking about big lies. But I think white lies are alive and well. And the problem with white lies is, what are we saying? We're actually saying they're, well, what does that mean, a white lie? I mean, a good lie? Would a black lie be a bad lie and a white lie be a good lie? See? So, lying. He says, instead of lying, speak the truth. So, see, that's the not just saying, I'm no longer going to look at the Christmas tree. Well, if I don't move, I'm still looking at the Christmas tree. And I'm either going to have to stand here with my eyes closed, or I'm going to change my view. Ah, now I'm looking at you guys. So lying, I can say, well, I'm no longer going to lie. But if I don't replace it with actually when I would have been prone to lie and about something, telling the truth, now I'm making some headway. So, that's what he's talking about. Putting off the old self and putting on the new self here in Ephesians, the language in the Greek is very plain language. It's language that would say you come in from work and you're dirty. And you take off your dirty clothes and you put on your clean clothes. Well, that's what it's, the word is used for, taking off dirty clothes and putting on clean clothes. So that's what we're supposed to do. Anger, deal with it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And you notice it says in there, don't give the devil an opportunity, because what does the devil want? Does the devil want arguments or feuds or misunderstandings, even in the church body? Would he like whatever needs to be dealt with? It's really not a big thing, but would he like us to deal with it today, or would he like it? Would he like us to put it off for a while, let it maybe fester a little bit? See, I think he'd like us to put it off for a while. The Bible says don't. Deal with it. Stealing. This is a thought. Get a job. Work. But do you notice in Ephesians here, it doesn't just stop there, does it? It says don't steal. Get a job or work. Why? Well, obviously, so you can take care of yourself, but so that you may help those who are in need. Now, how are you going to be able to help people who are in need if you don't have anything? And you don't have anything because you don't have a job, you haven't been working, and you're actually stealing. Now, God can do miraculous things. Obviously, in this area, but for the most part, God's not going to make you stop stealing. You know, He'll give you the grace and that you need to do it, but you still got to decide to do it. And then God's not going to make you get a job. He'll open doors for you, give you opportunities, all of that. Still be up to you to do it. I like John Wesley's, he's not my favorite theologian, but he was a good guy. And he had a lot of good things to say. And one of the things, his view of life, his life view, I guess, was make all the money you can make. There's nothing wrong with making money. Save all the money you can save. And then give all the money you can give. Now, he didn't say give it all away, because he was smart enough to know if you give it all away, then someone's going to have to take care of you. It's just like missionaries. If everybody went to be a missionary, how would that work? Huh? Who would support everybody? See, if all the Christians went over there, you know, well, only the ones God is leading over there or to the uttermost, wherever, should go. And then those of us he's not leading and has given us jobs and we're taking care of things and we have the wherewithal to do it, then we support the missionary. So, stealing. Don't do it. Get a job and then help people. Cursing, unwholesome talk, corrupt communication, whichever translation, don't do it. Instead, whatever is wholesome, edifying, building up, so that it will actually give grace to the hearer. You know, how many times you have a conversation with somebody and you go, man, I hope I never have that conversation again. And other times you go, man, I was just so blessed by conversation we had. Well, there you go. It's the difference. Bitterness, forgiveness. We're told in the Bible if we don't forgive, we'll end up, a root of bitterness will start to grow. And boy, we all know how that is. So what, you know, there's a million other things that could fit in this. This is not a complete list. This is the way. And wouldn't it be great to go in? Now these, okay, you could call these New Year's resolutions, but I'd rather just say I've decided to live biblically in 2019. So however you want to look at it. Spiritual change is not regret. We can have all the regret. We could regret how we lived in 2018. And that won't change anything about 2019. Regret doesn't change anything. Now, regret's not a bad thing. But regret doesn't get anything done. You understand what I'm saying? Regret is what it is. Feeling badly about how 2018 went will not make you do anything better in 2019. Feelings are not decisions. Oh, I feel bad about that. Well, okay, that's good. Now what? You going to do anything different? I mean, are you going to change? You know. So feelings are not decisions. Feelings are not change agents. They're just feelings. And they're important. Dobson wrote a book years ago, Feelings, Can You Trust Them? Basically, his conclusion was no. But they're real, they're there, and so you can't ignore them. But feelings are unreliable at best. So, don't go into 2019... saying, well, I have some feelings. That's good. We won't go into, okay. Some people seem to have more feelings than other people do. I'm accused of having one. I can't argue the point, so we'll just go with that. King Saul regretted his choices and his decisions as king of Israel. And so what did he do? He killed himself. So what did his regret do for him? Huh? See, it wasn't real productive, was it? Judas regretted that he had actually betrayed Jesus. It didn't result in him getting saved. He just regretted it. Turned into silver. So, in Acts 26:20, I'll find that and just, I don't have it up there, I don't think. So, Acts 26:20, Paul is giving his defense, okay, in front of King Agrippa. And he says, I'm going to do in verse 19. Therefore, O King Agrippa, Paul's saying, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, throughout all the region of Judah, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. See? Performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. There it is. I guess I had it. Notice first repentance, change of mind, and then action, which proved the repentance. There's another place where it's called the fruit of repentance. What's the fruit of repentance? Just the actions that follow genuine repentance. So if someone says they've repented of something, but there's no change, there'd be real suspicion whether they've repented or not. Now, I've got this up here. It's Proverbs 4, and I just want to read it. And I was thinking, you know, what good, this is really good information for saying, you know what, my life's a mess, or it's not a mess, but I'm just not walking with the Lord the way I think I should, or I seem to be making some unwise choices. Well, just let's read through this. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Of course, we're talking, God is speaking, and he's talking about the Word of God. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Well, I don't understand all of that, but the Bible says that in some way, doing this will actually be holistic is a word that's kind of popular today. It's not a bad word. And a Christian who is in the Word of God and attempting to live life according to the Word of God would have to have holistic health better than someone who's not. 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We'll lock our doors and lock our cars, but we don't lock our hearts sometimes. We let anything in. If our heart dies, in other words, if it dries up, we die physically or spiritually, or depending on. So, 24, put away perversity from your mouth and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. I remember saying about 25 years ago that a particular swear word would be common language in 20 years, and it more or less is. It more or less is. And does that make it right? Just because they, whoever they are, you know, this is, well, they, whoever they are, when I was a teenager in high school or even in college, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing a pair of brown shoes with black pants. Nobody did that. Not if you were cool. Not if you, they said, wear black shoes, black pants, or blue pants. You wear brown shoes with khakis or whatever. See. And here I am wearing brown shoes with black pants. sports, a lot of football games on, and all the talking heads. And watch, you look at those guys. Man, they got the brown shoes on. See? Brian, you going to be all right? Yeah, okay. So the point is, okay, I don't care, but it used to be wrong. Now it's cool. Well, okay, that's not a big deal, but how many other things that is a big deal? It is a big deal. Morally, see, or have we let go just like the brown shoes? Okay? 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Keeping your eye on the ball is true in life as well in sports. Yesterday, one of the games that I just had it on, and this one guy, I mean, it was a perfect pass to him, right in his hands, and he dropped it. Because he was worried about whether he was going to come in bounds or not. And so he took his eye off the ball and put his eyes on something else, and he dropped the ball. A perfect pass. Dropped it. So let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your eyes directly before you and make level, and I stuck in there, consider paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. And that word, can mean several things, but take good paths. And it's true whether you're walking or hiking or running or walking spiritually. Ephesians 5:15. I love Ephesians 5:15 in the King James says, walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. I love that word. Problem is we don't use it today, so nobody really knows what it means. It means carefully. But back when it was written, everybody knew what it meant. Walk circumspectly. Be careful how you walk. And then why? You read a little further on. Why? Because the days are evil. So we need to pay attention to where we're going and what we're doing. And that last one, don't swerve to the right or to the left. Just keep your foot from evil. And I suppose, they weren't driving cars back then, but swerving to the right or the left is a good idea even if you're driving. But just keep your foot from evil. Stay on the path. And now society will say it's okay. Be your own person. Do what you want to do. There's all kinds of... You know what? It's a lot tougher to be a Christian today. A young Christian, a teenager, adult, than it was when I was. It's tougher. A lot more challenges, stress. 2019. What will it bring? How will it go? We don't know. 2018, we know what it was like now. It's kind of pretty much in the books. I suppose you got a couple days. You got today and Monday. If you got to pay a bill, you want to use it for a tax deduction in 2018 and get it done tomorrow. Medical, if you haven't met your deductible and you want to do something, I suppose tomorrow's good. I'll bet tomorrow will be a busy day in the doctor's offices. But, New Year's resolution. Okay, I don't like them. But, Lord, I will serve you in 2019 with no complaining on my part and no explanation needed on your part. Signed, me. Now, I don't know how serious I am about that, but I think it's a good idea. See, but really, man, it's... How many times do we not do what we know we ought to do because we're waiting for an explanation? But then we tell our kids to do something, and they say, why? I say, because I said so, right? Okay. So there's a chorus. We're not going to sing it, but I love this chorus. And it kind of, you did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. That's Christmas. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. That's grace. And the chorus is, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came. That's Christmas. Seek and save the lost. Heaven. Christmas is Jesus coming to us. And the last song we're going to sing, this is in it. From whose heart came salvation's plan. And then Christmas leads to Easter, crucifying the perfect lamb. If you're not sure what you're going to do for devotions in 2019, and maybe you finished something, whatever, I would recommend start in Matthew or Luke, just because they have the Christmas story, and read the whole gospel and lead up to Easter. That's what I'd recommend if you're not sure what you're doing. And then eventually, Christ, of course, went back to heaven, where he is there now as our high priest, willing to help us live 2019 the way we ought to. Let's pray. Lord, as we move into 2019 and we're not sure about a lot of things, we can look back and say, okay, thank you for 2018. And maybe some things we ought to say, forgive me, Lord, about 2018. And other things, Lord, help me to continue and build on 2018. So I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct all of us as we get ready to make this transition to a new year. Help us as we leave singing and praising and worshiping you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right.